So today, continuing with our theme of Friday Fire, I'm going to speak on prophetic. Woo-woo. I've been excited to share this because it kind of requires a lot of my testimony as well. So today's message is called The Intimacy of the Prophetic. The Intimacy of the Prophetic. Please take notes. I don't know if you have a lot to take. Well, yeah, you'll have a lot to take notes for. The Intimacy of the Prophetic. Okay. Before I start, I want to share my testimony with the prophetic, actually. Wait. You know, I'm petite. So first time I was ever told or introduced that word prophetic was actually in 2009. So I was done with college and I was, you know, looking for a job and whatnot. And I went to our college fellowship's alumni prayer meeting. And we were praying for a mission team going off to Tibet that day. So we all gathered around and we prayed for the mission team. And, you know, I got an image when I was praying for them of the mission team in Tibet and how, like, these demonic little figures or people, you know, with demonic spirits were throwing things at them in the spirit and, like, you know, like trying to hurt them. Like, meh, you know. But I saw this Tibet team being covered in a shield of protection. So I just knew that our prayers are going to protect them from all the demonic strongholds that are trying to get in their way of doing their missions. So, and then, you know, we all prayed, and then someone was like, somebody do 대표 기도, somebody like pray out loud. So I think I felt led to share that. So I prayed that prayer, and then, you know, blessed them, and, you know, I went on. But the pastor that was there at the time pulled me aside afterwards, and he actually told me, hey, did you know that you have a gift of prophecy? And I was like, what? What's that? That was my first time hearing the word prophecy. And my first reaction when he said that was, that can't be true because I can't foretell the future. Because that was my only understanding of what prophecy means. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't have that kind of gift. And, you know, and something inside of me, I felt like I needed to stay humble. You know, no, I can't have such a cool ability to, you know, like do whatever prophetic thing, right? So I kind of told him like, okay, I didn't know, maybe, I don't know, and I just moved on, right? Which both of them are incorrect understanding of the prophetic. You know, I need to stay humble because this is a cool ability, or, oh, prophetic is about foretelling the future, or both kind of incorrect understanding of the prophetic. So, but then starting in 2009, I started getting a lot of dreams and visions whenever I would pray, whenever I would sleep. Of course, I have to sleep to get dreams, right? A lot of dreams that I'm just like, wow, like the things that Pastor John Michael was teaching about two Friday Fires ago of, you know, like not the kekums, not the dog dreams, but dreams that really stood out to me. Like, wow, this could mean something. I need to pray into this. So I started writing them down. You know, sometimes there are encouragements. Sometimes there were warnings. Sometimes there were just straight up nothing. It was just, I was totally off. All, you know, it doesn't mean everything I get is like mad prophetic. Because like on a side note, prophetic in the beginning is kind of like gold mining. You know, you get a lot more dirt than the gold. And, you know, you keep digging, you keep dusting off the dirt, you keep looking for that gold and you find little bits of gold here and there, you know? But more you do it, you get better at it. And then your spiritual instrument to find that gold gets bigger, more high tech, more intense, and you're able to find gold after another, after experiencing, you know, after, I guess, being trained in the way of finding that gold. That's how prophetic is in the beginning. So if you find a lot of dirt in the beginning, don't be discouraged. That's the same for everybody, you know? Anyway, so over the course of 7 years, I have a journal full of a lot of different things, like words and, you know, visions, dreams, but not all of them are meaningful, but some of them actually, when I read it now, they were pivotal words or dreams for my life. And, you know, like I mentioned, not all of them are gold. So, you know, in the beginning, you have to discern, you have to practice how to discern what's meat and what's bone, right? But anyway, throughout this whole process, I didn't think I was being so prophetic. I thought it was just a normal way that God likes to talk to his people. But then in the fall of 2009, I had this amazing mentor named John Michael Becker. And, and at the time, he began training me in healing and deliverance ministry. Overseas, actually. He would Skype with me over, you know, when he was in Korea. And he would give me all the materials. No ulterior motives. Don't say, oh. Yeah, there were other people too. I wasn't just me. There were a few, you know, like the not elite students of his from Virginia that, you know, I think he felt led to train us in healing and deliverance ministry. So that's when he would send me teachings on, you know, healing and deliverance, the occult, and the prophetic, and different spiritual things. That was the first time I ever got, like, a proper teaching on what prophetic means. And, you know, I was able to get a general understanding of what it is, that prophetic is not fortune-telling, right? And it's a gift and a privilege that God, you know, would reveal things to us when we ask for them, you know? So the things that Pastor John Michael taught two Friday Fires ago was basically the basis of what I was able to learn through that training. And I looked at my old notes, and it said, prophetic, don't sugarcoat it, but don't brush it off. That's what I wrote. You know, but I think at the time, that's what I needed to hear. You know, prophetic, don't sugarcoat it. Don't think it's some sort of like a, you know, like a magical thing that we like just use to look cool or do the cool thing of saying the right thing. But don't overlook it. Do not overlook the power of the prophetic. So I needed to hear it at the time. And then came 2010. I was working as a graphic designer. And God started giving me dissatisfaction for where I was going in my life. Basically, I hated my job. And I didn't like that I was just in a cubicle, not having any interaction with people. And I'm like, there's got to be more to my life than just being in a cubicle, designing things, you know, just kind of like fast producing these things. I'm not saying that's wrong, but for me at the time, I was just like, I don't think this is for me. I felt so discontent, and I think that's when God began stirring in my heart, like a heart for ministry. So I began praying to the next step of my life, and it took me actually 6 months of praying and fasting, you know, like dinner, to pray into my future, for me to acknowledge the fact that God was calling me to make a radical decision of dropping everything and moving to Korea. I was ignoring it. I was denying it. I'm like, I might have heard it wrong. You know, God is not telling me to quit my job and go to Korea. No way. You know, but it took me 6 months for me to go through that process. But in that, prophetic played a key role in giving me that confirmation and peace to make such a radical decision. You know, as a pastor, I will not tell people, you know, when they're like, I feel like God is telling me to drop my job and leave my mom who's going through, you know, like a marital problem and, you know, and like just kind of like go there when I don't have a job set up in Korea and I don't have a housing set up either. I would not advise him to go. I'll be like, no, you get your thing straight, you get everything lined up, and then you go when God says go, right? But for me, I felt like God was specifically telling me, trust me and just go. And at the time, on a side note, I was attending a church where it was pretty conservative. And when I shared with my pastors that I see visions and I have dreams and whatnot, basically the pastor told me to keep it to yourself. So, you know, it was just like a church community, a culture. I'm not saying anything was wrong, but, you know, they didn't believe in speaking in tongues either. So they were encouraging the church congregation to not speak in tongues and not share these visions or dreams or anything like that. So, of course, there's, like, no teaching on it either. So, you know, like, I was willing to submit and just kind of, yeah, keep it to myself. But I felt torn. I felt like I was in the wrong by getting these visions or dreams. Like, I felt like something was wrong with me, you know? And then I had a dream one night. It's very vivid until this day. It's like sharing my, like, a little gem with you guys. So cherish it, you know, as I share it. So in my dream, I was lost in a big church. It was a huge church. And I'm, like, desperately trying to get out of the building. I mean, in real life, I am, like, pretty, directionally challenged and disabled to find directions. I have no sense of direction whatsoever in real life. But even in the dream, I had no idea where I was. And I was trying to get out. I was desperate to get out. I'm like running into people. But then at one point, I was looking down from above, down this like a spiral stairs. And I saw an angel far away downstairs. And I was like, wow, that's an angel. And then I was immediately kind of like gripped with fear that, dang, that's an angel, you know? And then from far away, I was able to see that she had huge eyes, like dunk, like, I can't even explain. It was like huge. I was like, man, she has huge eyes, but she's blind. Like in my mind, I just knew, oh, she's blind. And then like in the blink of an eye, she was right next to me, like right here, like, pff, like right here. And I freaked out and I said, excuse me. I think I was trying to ask her how to get out of here. But the moment I looked at her and said, excuse me, in fear, she grabbed my hand and started flying. And my body was kind of like flying down the stairs like I'm going through like a slide really fast. It was one of those like movie moments where you just like, boom, like you're being drawn into this like a tunnel of like, you know, like some sort of exit, you know. And I experienced that, like, it almost felt like my body was really experiencing it. It just felt like, woof. And then I went through the tunnel, and the moment I was like, oh, I'm here, I woke up. I literally woke up with, like, you know, one of those, like, woof, you go through, and then I woke up, and I'm like, oh, that was a dream. That's pretty crazy. I didn't know what it meant. Like, blind angel with huge eyes. What does that mean? And then I got to talk to my mentor, John Michael, over Skype that week. And he was like, are you sure you don't know what it means? I'm like, no, I don't know what it means. And he was able to help me understand. Thankful, you know, this is why you need mentors and being prophetic. You can't do it on your own. Don't try to be prophetic on your own, because no, you need covering. You need people who can guide you with it and give you wisdom with it. And that was John Michael for me. And I was able to understand that what this dream meant was that the angel was representing me. You know, we all have like an avatar, almost like an angel that represents us, you know, and they say people who can see in the spirit say that your angel that are protecting you and are kind of like side, you know, by your side as you are, you know, like praying and, you know, they're praying with you. They kind of look like you, I heard. And they have like instruments and weapons in their hands that represents your skills and your strengths and whatnot. So, you know, we have angels that are kind of like our avatar. And the angel's eyes were blind because my spiritual eyes were blind. And I needed to get out of where I was. So those were the two things that were very clear through the dream, that my spiritual eyes are blind, even though I have huge eyes that have crazy potential of, you know, seeing through a lot of things, but they were blind at the time. And that I needed to get out of where I was. And John Michael also got a word for me when he, after I shared that and he prayed for me, he said, I don't know what this means, but I see a vision of a rhino. Rhinoceros? Am I saying that right? Rhino. So I'm like, okay, rhino, strong, I'm strong, I don't know. But after we hung up, I looked it up, and something that stood out was that rhinos are known for their almost blind eyesight. So I was like, dang, God is trying to make it very, very clear that I'm spiritually blind, you know? So those were the two confirmations that I got. And so many other confirmations, I actually ended up at the end of 2010 moving to Korea. And got plugged straight into New Philly. And basically, that's where I was trained to exercise my prophetic gift. And I believe that God brought me here. And part of the big reason why I came specifically to New Philly was because God wanted me to be trained up in the prophetic. Because right when I came, we were very active in training people and exercising the gift of prophecy. So that's, you know, how I got to be introduced to the prophetic and to be trained up in this area. Sorry, I'm going to take a sip. Pocari sweat. So with that, you know, one thing I want to emphasize with my testimony is that for me, walking in the prophetic was a result of my intimacy with God. Right? It was natural. It's just what happened when I was being intimate with God. And that's how God wired me. And it was a very essential part of my relationship with Him. And if I was to ignore this because, you know, my church leader told me to or whatnot, this aspect of my walk with Him, I think it would have kind of strained my relationship with Him, because that was a way I felt very intimate with God. You know, and I think that's how it should be for all of us. It should be a natural product of our intimacy with God. So here's my first point. I want you guys to really get this, that prophetic has to happen in the place of intimacy with God. Prophetic has to happen in the place of intimacy with God. It should not happen apart from intimacy with the Lord. You know, I think sometimes people misunderstand that prophetic is some sort of hocus pocus. Like, you're going to get a job. I don't know. Like, I don't know what kind of prophecy other people give, but you're not supposed to give that kind of prophecy anyway. But like a guessing game. You get it right, then you're prophetic. You get it wrong, then you're not prophetic. You know, I think that's the way people can perceive it. You know, it is true that when we do exercise our gift of prophecy, that we do get information. Don't get me wrong. We do get knowledge that we would not know apart from God. But more than anything, what we have to get is not right or wrong, but it's His heart. What we have to get in being prophetic is His heart. We have to get His heart. You know, Kirk Bennett is one of the leaders at IHOP who's leading the prophetic ministry. And he came to New Philly and taught a seminar and spoke and all that as well. But I've been listening to his teachings on prophetic, and this is how he put it. He said to be prophetic means to have heaven's eyes and see from above, to have God's perspective. That's what it means to be prophetic. It means to have heaven's eyes and to see from above. It's not seeing from the earthly view. It's not seeing from our physical eyes, but it's to see from God's perspective, from the heaven's view. You know, and prophetic also means to speak God's heart. Speak God's heart. You know, so if you're not connected to God's heart and asking for prophecy, then it's not different from fortune telling. It's not different from fortune telling. But, you know, and if you're not connecting with the intimacy of love of God as you are being prophetic and exercising your prophetic gift, if you're not being intimate with God, then you're missing the point. You know, our prayer should not be, God, make me more prophetic. Give me more prophetic words. Give me more information or knowledge. But rather, it should be, God, show me your heart. God, help me to speak from your heart for this brother, for this sister. Help me to see from above and look with your perspective. You know, that's why I cry all the time when I prophesy over people. I know it's embarrassing, but you know, it's like my heart is being plugged into His. It's like you plug it in, and I get zapped with His love for this person. I'm not some holy, like, always loving. I'm not Jesus. You know, I don't even know the person sometimes, and I'm crying because I love that person so much. That's not because I'm such a naturally loving person. It's because my heart is connected to His. You know? Have you ever been zapped with electricity? I hope not. I hope nobody has been zapped with electricity here. But, you know, maybe you can imagine, like, jumping a car. You know, your car died, and then your car is just lifeless, and you ask, like, JP, someone nice like JP, and then you're like, can I use your battery to jump my car, right? Then you connect your cable to your car, and then JP's car, and then you zap it, and the same energy that was in JP's car goes to your car, and your car becomes live, right? That's exactly how it is sometimes with the gift of prophecy. You know, what we are wanting to do is, God, let me plug into your heart and get some of what you have. Let me plug into your heart and your perspective and how you see this world and get some of that. That's what prophetic is. You know, once again, Kirk said, seeing life through heaven's realm is seeing life through God's abundant affection. It's about love, guys. If we don't catch God's heart and His abundant affection for His people through the prophetic, we're missing the point. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's open there. 1 Corinthians 14. Are you guys all there? Let's read it all together from verse 1 to 5. Ready? I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. Are you ready? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in tongues does not but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets it so that the church may be built up. Sorry, I butchered reading that passage. But, you know, verse one. It says, because it's about love of God and connecting to his heart, that's why we should all desire and ask for the gift of prophecy. Wait. No, I jumped it. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 14. God tells us to pursue what? Pursue love, right? And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Because the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So love and spiritual gifts go hand in hand. You know, make a note that it says, God says, pursue love and then earnestly desire spiritual gifts. You know, I think he's trying to make it very clear that without love, pursuing spiritual gifts is probably not a good idea. You cannot build people, encourage people, or console people apart from the love of God. You know, this is what prophetic without love looks like. I have a lot of prophetic blooper stories, I can tell, but maybe not today because I don't have much time, of my own and of other people. Because like I mentioned in the beginning, it's a lot of dirt. It's a lot of making mistakes and looking foolish and looking kind of weird, but then trying to get God's heart, trying to get the gold out of what he's showing you, right? So one of the stories, you know, I heard a brother, don't laugh, Lydia. I heard this brother on a mission trip felt really led to pray for this another brother. You know, so he asked God, like, God, how does he feel? You know, what is he feeling right now? And he felt like God was telling him, this brother right now feels weak and small, right? So the brother went up to the other brother and he said, I feel like God is saying you feel weak and small. And then walked away. You know, I think it was his, like, one of the first times of prophesying. So people make mistakes like this all the time. It's not that this brother was bad or anything. But what happened? He just got established in the fact that he feels weak and small, right? So he forgot the part where he was supposed to portray God's heart regarding how this brother was feeling. You know, if he felt in his spirit, this brother feels weak and small, then, you know, when he asks God, then how do you feel about him? That should be the next step, right? I think he just skipped the whole, like, a chunk of the other step that he was supposed to take. You know, that's, like, kind of funny, but for me, even when I go on mission trips and I pray for people, and, you know, we all always want to see the Holy Spirit being poured out. We always want to see people falling out and crying and just, you know, crying in tongues and all that stuff, right? So, you know, there are moments where I'll just be honest. I just do the motions. If I do this, she might fall. If I do this, this girl might cry, you know? But then at times when I'm just in that mode of like, God, I'm doing this method and I'm going to try to like prophesy over this girl and I speak all the right words. I speak all the right, word of knowledge or whatever. And this girl's not being touched at all. And I'm like, God, what am I missing? I think I'm hearing right. You know, I think you're giving me some words that, you know, for this girl, but what am I missing? And I would always hear God say, do you have love for her? Do you know how much I love her? Are you connected to my heart right now as you're praying for this girl? And I wasn't. I was connected to methods and I was connected to my own ways of doing things, but I was not connected to his heart. And the moment I'm like, God, then connect me to your heart. Then let me just zap into your heart and feel what you feel for this girl. And when once, the moment I do that and I just speak softly like, you know, whatever her name is, like, God loves you. Boom, she's like falling on the ground. That's the power of the prophetic when you are connected to God's heart. You know, God's true power comes and gets poured out once you get to have God's perspective on the things of this world. You know, and my second point for prophecy is that prophecy is for all people. All people. Not just for quote unquote whoever is already prophetic or whoever is already shaking all the time. That's not what prophecy is for. You know, we read 1 Corinthians 14. It says, verse 5, it says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. God does not say, I want you, Tay, to only speak in tongues and prophesy. Does he? Or Gina, only you to speak, you know, in tongues and prophesy. But no, it says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. You know, so I don't want any of you guys to close your heart to the gift of prophecy for whatever reason, you know. Maybe some of you felt like in the past, like, I'm not prophetic. I've tried it and I'm not really good at it, so maybe I'm not prophetic, you know. But being prophetic looks different for everybody. Did you know that? It looks a certain way that, you know, that makes you, maybe you think that prophetic is, you know, getting the visions and dreams that Pastor Sky talks about all the time. But like, for example, like Pastor JM, he's not really spiritually sensitive. He's never fell in his life, I don't think, right? I don't think, like, except for a courtesy fall, I don't think he's fell before. You guys know courtesy fall? It's like when it's like so strong that you just, okay, kind of like fall, you know? But he's not really spiritually sensitive, but I'm more the spiritually sensitive person. So if we were to walk into a really like dark environment, he would be just like, whatever, you know, this is pretty dark. But I would be like, like I feel it. And I'm like, oh, I feel sick in here. Or I feel things like in the physical or whatnot. But you would not say Pastor John Michael is not prophetic. You know, the times he would minister to you with such accuracy of speaking life over you, how he's praised for you with such accuracy, and that's exactly what you needed to hear. He's being mad prophetic. You would not say, oh, Pastor John Michael is not prophetic just because he's not shaken or he's not seeing dreams and visions that the way Pastor Sky does, right? So this is why I want to encourage all of you to not close your heart when we talk about gift of prophecy. You know, maybe some of you think, I'm not gifted with that, but that's not true. God says he wants you all to prophesy. He wants you all to speak in tongues and especially prophesy because it's about connecting to his heart. It's not so that you look cool. It's not so that you can go around saying, I'm a prophetess guy. You know, that's not the point. Point is so that he can show you the heavenly realm. He can show you through his eyes. And he wants all of you to see that. It's not going to be like, I save some for just him or I save some for this girl. No, he wants to reveal all the secrets he has for all of you because you guys are all his beloved children. You know, when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you're able to connect to God and his perspective in some degree or another. You know, you might not get it right all the time. Maybe like, not like 9 out of 10, maybe like 2 out of 10, but who cares? He loves when you ask. He loves when you're wanting to know his heart. You know, Joel 2:28, it says, this is, should we turn? Oh no, I'll just read it. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the female, male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. It says, it doesn't say, once again, some of your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And old men will dream dreams, and young people will see visions. You know? Church, the world is getting darker and darker. And that means that our ability to see this world with the right vision is getting fuzzier and fuzzier. This is why prophetic needs to be essential in our lives. It's not so that we just feel good and we feel loved and we just hear nice things about other people so we can pray for them. That's not the point. God wants us with him up there. He doesn't want us to live on this earth with earthly eyes and get discouraged and get shaken up when we aren't able to see hope, when we aren't able to see God working in this life. He does not want that, you know? Did you guys know that we are citizens of heaven? We are citizens of heaven. Our true citizenship is not in Canada, not in America, not in Singapore, not in Malaysia. You know, I can't name all the countries. But our true citizenship is in heaven. You know, if your citizenship is in Canada, you better be pretty Canadian inside. True? Right? My Canadian brother is like, right? A boot? I don't know. You know, if your citizenship is in America, you better be pretty American inside. Right? And for Pastor Hannah, she's so Australian, isn't she? You know, you love her like, you know, I try to learn this accent from her all the time. You know, like church and church. I love it so much. I mean, I try to mimic it. I'm not trying to make fun of her, but I'm not really good at it. Because I'm not Australian, right? I was Korean, born in Korea and went to America when I was 13. So I have this really funky accent, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, when you have a citizenship in heaven, then you better be pretty heavenly inside. Do you agree? No? I think so. You know, if your citizenship is in heaven, then we need to be pretty heavenly inside. That's our identity. That's how we're made up. More than Korean, more than Canadian, more than anything, we are heavenly beings, guys. You know, I think that concludes my message. Hey, wait, I'm trying to wrap it up nicely. You know, it's a very simple message, right? I felt really strongly, though, that God wanted you to get these two things very, very, very clear. You know, even if you don't get anything else out of this message, he wants you to get that the ultimate place of intimacy is where you are able to walk and see through his eyes, see through his perspective, see this world through heavenly realm. And that this is for all of you guys. It's not just for some. But we need to all seek to prophesy, you know? I want us to have some prayer time.